views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Let's talk about your juicy love with me, Una Drake. We explore relationships, dating, sacred union, communication, conscious love, healthy boundaries, and much more. As a dating and relationship coach for over 5 years, with a background in shamanic healing and metaphysical work, I've helped men and women, young and old, from all walks of life. My mission is to increase peace, joy, and love on planet Earth. So listen in and stay juicy. All right. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is me, of course, Una Drake. And today I'm joined by my beautiful daughter, Kiara, who is 15 years old and a freshman in high school. And we also have Joe, my wonderful partner here, offering yet another perspective. And to, do you guys want to say hi?
Hi.
Hello, everybody.
All right. So today we're going to talk about the perspectives of the younger generation in regards to gender identity, sexual orientation. You know, what is the conversation like today with today's youth in high school, even middle school? You know, and how does that differ from, say, the conversation that I was having when I was Kiara's age, or that Joe was having, you know, around the same time, you know, back in the, you know, in past generations, you know, 70s, 80s, even the 90s, the conversation was different than it is today. I see a real change, and I thought that this could be a very interesting discussion, especially as it pertains to, you know, love and relationships, and what people are saying about that kind of thing. So, Kiara, tell us a little bit about yourself. And first of all, okay, you're a freshman at Garfield High School.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what are the conversations, or what are some of the things that you know, you and your friends talk about in terms of, like, okay, just going into this. I mean, I'll just say, you know, I know that the conversations around, say, sexual orientation, mm-hmm. and gender identity seem to be a lot more prevalent than they were when I was your age.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, and so what are those conversations like? I mean, do you have, gag, I know the answer to this, but do you have friends who are gay or trans or et cetera?
Very many.
Okay. And so, yeah, so what is that like?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I got to middle school and I made friends, and I mean, most of them just happened to be, you know, in the LGBT community. It wasn't like a conscious decision to seek people out like that, but that's just how it happened. And I remember it just wasn't a thing we talked about in elementary school, but then everyone was talking about it in middle school.
And what were those conversations like? I mean, were people just kind of exploring, like, I think I might be gay, or I think I might be trans, or, like, what was that like?
Well, I mean,
Like, who was the first person that you ever met or knew who was either of your generation, mm-hmm. you know, people around your age who was either a trans or gay?
My next door neighbor, Noah.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
No last names.
Okay. Don't worry.
Okay.
Not that dumb.
Yeah. All right. So I never knew any trans people growing up, mm-hmm. when I was growing up.
Yeah.
I didn't meet my first trans person that I knew was trans until I was definitely an adult, like well into my 20s, I would say.
Woo.
So, and I was raised, well, I was raised in a very conservative, you know, household. And I think that was pretty common for, you know, fairly common for people of my generation, you know, my elder years. You know, so and it was considered, I know that when I was growing up and I was even, you know, told about trans people, like that was very much considered kind of a taboo. And so what is the, and I know that still today, youth who are trans, for example, it's still not easy. So what is that? What is that like?
Oh man, I don't know where to start. I mean, I would say, oh, it's pretty great now. And you know, I mean, it's a lot better than it used to be. And I mean, it's not all that, I don't know. It is a lot, but, just literally, this past Friday, I spent like an entire math class surrounding my entire table having some very pretty homophobic discussion. And I'm just kind of sitting there in the corner and I'm drawn and I'm just like, I really don't want to be here.
Oh. What kind of stuff were they saying?
Oh my God. They were, I'm already used to the people at my table regularly calling them each other by, you know, rather homophobic slurs. And then they were talking about a story. There was like a video release of some guy they knew.
Another student?
Yeah. I think it was from a different school.
Okay.
But it was like in their social circle or something somewhere out there. I don't know. It was a really, I didn't quite get the conversation and I wasn't really included in the conversation. I was kind of eavesdropping, but like, you know.
So it seems like, I guess what you're saying is that there's still, there is some polarity in how people deal with it, even among your generation. There's some people who are very, well, you used the word homophobic. And there's other students who, of course, are very supportive.
And
very out, or, you know, in allies. So, what would you say, what is some of the experience like of some of the people that you know who are in the LGBT community?
I don't know, man. I mean,
do they have struggles on a regular basis?
They seem to have very, very wildly different experiences. I have like several trans friends and, either they're saying, oh yeah, everybody's cool, like my family's all good, you know, I'm looking into getting hormone treatment, it's all progressing very nicely. Or they're saying, like, I'm horribly depressed, I'm misgendered by my own family on a daily basis. They make me, like, you know, wear clothes that just completely disregard all how I want to present. So I don't know, man. It's like, it's polarity, man. Like what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I know, we got started on this conversation, Una, because you got interested in the subject of polarity.
Yeah. I've been interested in the topic about, I know some people, some coaches and teachers and writers within the dating and relationship space are very big on supporting the traditional polarity between men and women and really upholding that strongly in traditional relationships. And, you know, basically, you know, saying that if, you know, one partner is very feminine and, you know, a woman typically, you know, is very feminine, the other one's a man and really expressive of, you know, traditional masculinity, that generally that works in a relationship. However, what I've been seeing, what I've been noticing, it seems like the younger generation, these kind of polarities are less emphasized. And honestly, although I see that yes, when people naturally express, you know, their, you know, when a woman is very feminine and loves being a woman and loves expressing that femininity, and, you know, a man is naturally male and expresses traditional masculinity, it can work great. But there's a lot of people that they don't conform. They just don't conform to traditional gender roles. Even if, like, a woman, I guess I'm, and I'll speak for myself. Like, I'm a woman. I like being a woman. It's fine, but I don't necessarily, I don't think I'm the most girly, you know, feminine woman out there, you know? And I don't think of that as, like, what I emphasize all the time. And I know there's a lot of women and men who aren't necessarily the most expressed in that, you know, they're just, they don't emphasize that, that the polarity of their gender. And I know that it seems less important than it used to be. And I don't, I'm not being very well expressed here, but I guess what I'm interested in exploring is how necessary is it, or is it necessary at all to have that polarity? Yeah. And you're saying no. You of the newer generation is saying, no, it's not. And I would tend to agree with you, but please expand, Kiara.
Well, I just think it's like, it happens, but like, necessary? No, absolutely not. Like, honestly, from my personal perspective, if I was in a relationship and the polarity was like being emphasized, if that was like a thing, I would be like, no, no thanks, buddy pal. Like, not my deal.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it seems like, and this is my opinion too, like the most important thing is like who you are as a person and who the other person
is. Yes, definitely.
As a person, and just to experience each other as people and not as some sort of one gender or another. Joe?
Yeah, I was just thinking, it has to do with the roles that we play, you know, and having roles fostered onto us that aren't natural and organic to our being creates unnatural and forced relationship dynamics. And in a way, you're really, you know, it's interesting because I view this sort of rise of identity politics as, I believe it right now to be an unbalanced state of backlash against a previous unbalanced state.
Okay.
And so right now we're really emphasizing and politicizing these personal aspects of identity.
Okay, like,
and yeah, and I guess what I'm saying, what I'm suggesting is I'm really sympathetic to the idea that, you know, say forcing a woman into some sort of traditional archetype is ridiculous and absurd to me. Mm-hmm, you know, we should take individuals on face value and look for what they have to offer. And the idea that these highly politicized identities are the most important thing about a person or a relationship or our status in society might be overstated at the moment.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, with that note, we're going to go to break and we'll be right back in a few minutes and we're going to expand on this more. Thank you.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit GlennaRice.com.
Your happiness is your choice on Natural Peace Radio. Follow Sarah Van Rieswijk as she addresses the power of emotions. Each month, Sarah covers different topics as she helps listeners activate their energetic spark and create powerful energy and amazing opportunities. Manifest your desires with Natural Peace Radio. For more information on Sarah and her work, visit naturalpeaceliving.com.
Let It Go Radio. The future awaits you. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Barbara Scheidegger explores the way to clarity, peace, and how to live a successful life on your terms by turning negative experiences into positive ones. Barbara's curiosity about the human experience drives her both personally and professionally. As a life coach, author, and renowned clinical hypnotherapist, Barbara knows how to move forward in a natural, organic way without side effects. If you want to grow, be sure to tune in to Let It Go Radio. To learn more, visit letitgohypnosis.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Have you ever heard of the 90-10 rule? It goes like this. 90% of the time, no one is thinking of you. 90% of the time, everyone's thinking about themselves. And if you think of it like that, it takes the weight off because now you're not being judged. I'm Megan Edge. I'd love for you to join me on Playing on the Edge Radio, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Radio FM.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
All right, and we're back. This is Una Drake on Your Juicy Love, and I'm here today with my own daughter, Kiara.
Hello.
Kiara is a freshman in high school. It's spring break right now, so that's why she's home having this discussion with me today instead of being at school. And, of course, my wonderful partner, Joe, is here as well.
Hello again.
And we're discussing the... how kind of views in general about sexual orientation, gender identity, et cetera, have changed over the years, and how the experience that Kiara is having is certainly different than the experience that Joe and I had growing up and, you know, having conversations in school, et cetera, with peers about sexual orientation, gender identity, et cetera. And when we left for break, we had just talked about, the politicization. I don't know.
Congratulations. It's a word.
Of specific identities and how they become, just hot, these hot button issues in our culture today, like between liberals and conservatives or blah, blah, blah. And, can you go into the specifics? What are those?
Seems like there's a lot of black and white thinking, mm-hmm. a lot of need to assign people to, if you're not this, you're that. And I know during the break, Kiara was talking about some of that. I don't mean to steal your thunder.
It's okay.
But I agree that, you know, it's the idea that people exist in these static molds that are tied to some of these identities. So I remember, like, when I was a child, you know, we talked about what our experiences were, but we haven't actually described any of these experiences. So I'd like to share, like, I remember when I was a kid, there was a park where gay people would be sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, it was illegal in the South, where I was from, to be gay. I mean,
wow.
You could be arrested if you were caught on a date with a man.
Wow.
And yet we had a very large gay community where we were. And so they had, of course, worked out meeting places and arrangements in their own sort of subculture, as you'd expect. But the stigma that hung around these events was tremendous. And so I remember that the way that these people would get painted with this identity and it would suddenly become the most important thing about them
mm-hmm.
was always very interesting to me. And then when I was, even as a young teen, I went out and explored this because it was taboo and, you know, you weren't supposed to. And I had some sort of fluid ideas about my own sexual alignment, which right now, you know, you might consider me pretty heteronormative, cisgender, whatever. But that wasn't always the case. I went through a series of states that flowed and changed. Mm-hmm. I had interests in men. I pursued that to the utmost and enjoyed it. You know, unfortunately, the social stigma definitely hampered that exploration. And it was, I did not have a safe outlet to do it. It was all very underground, very dirty.
Sure.
And I always thought about that. And then, you know, I kept always struggling with how to identify, because I always thought, you know, if you have a intimate relationship with a man, you are gay.
Right.
Like one drop of gay equals gay.
but that's not the case.
Yeah, and of course, this is well after Kinsey's work and all of this, which, you know, totally turns that on its head. This isn't scientific thinking. This is just the superstitious medieval village.
Yeah, and yet I still think a lot of that thinking is still fairly prevalent in our culture.
Is it?
But it's changing. It's changing. That's what I want to bring up. Is that okay? So, Kiara, how about you enlighten us?
frankly, one drop of gay equals gay is ridiculous.
Well, certainly.
And I've actually, I don't know if I've ever heard anyone like, probably in real life, talking like that. Like, ever.
Oh, my. I'll take you to Arkansas someday.
Okay. All right.
So what is your view? Do you view it as a spectrum, or can you enlighten us a little bit?
I mean, every person's going to experience it differently. I mean, if you're going to look at it, everybody's experiences, you could classify that as their own separate thing. I am Kiara sexual, because everyone's is different. So if you want to do it to the absolute utmost, you know, we're going to get in as detailed as this, every single person would probably have a different one. Because, I mean, everybody's different. And everybody's just people having their own thoughts and ideas and feelings and stuff. So, basically, you can get, like, generalized, like, bubbles and ideas. And you can kind of say, okay, I'm enough of this that I can identify as this. But honestly, do what you want, because no one's going to be 100%.
Okay, and do you think that people can change over time? I mean, like, well, Joe just expressed himself that you've changed.
Yeah, my sexuality has changed throughout mm-hmm. my life, and not like in some weird, like, I'm switching all the time kind of way. It just evolved mm-hmm. as I had experiences and developed my tastes.
Right.
Sometimes I really wonder about having children choose their sexual identity. That just seems really strange to me, because, like,
yeah,
let the cake finish baking already. You know, it's not done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe it's never done. Maybe the cake's always baking until it's baked,
right?
And in the ground, you know.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. That rings true to me, but I think that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. Then, like, how do you, it can, especially if someone is switching their gender identity, not just their sexual orientation, but their, you know, I think, you know, our culture wants to, it's hard to know, like, well, is this person a male or a female? I mean, because we're so conditioned. So, Kiara, how do kids your age deal with this?
Well, I mean, from my personal view, I mean, do what you want. I mean, if you're feeling a way, you can express that way. I'm gonna respect that. I mean, I don't really care how long that lasts, or how long you feel that way, or how you feel that way, or how you really feel, or I don't know, man. Do what you do.
Uh-huh.
Just go.
And the people around you who respect who you are will just respect that?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Do you advocate, like, moving towards a, like, using they and them for everybody?
Definitely people you don't know.
Okay.
But I mean, if someone asks you to use a specific pronouns, use their pronouns.
I mean, what do you say for people like me that that's really hard? It's really hard. Okay, I try. I have tried. Okay. But it's hard for me to wrap my head around always saying they and them.
Like, well, I mean, for people...
I admit, and that may make me a Neanderthal or something. But
okay, so you're talking about, like, a random example person. I remember when I was younger, everyone would use... almost always would use... he as a gender neutral pronoun.
Mm-hmm.
But now,
hail the patriarchy.
Now, I mean, I never hear anyone use that. I mean, they always say they, and I'm like, yeah, that's great, because this is a random person we have no idea mm-hmm. This person doesn't even exist. So does their gender even really exist? So just use they. I mean, it can mean anything mm-hmm. you want it to, and I mean, you know.
I like that's catching on. That's actually an old Southern thing.
Oh, really?
Using they and them as gender-neutral pronouns. So I can't believe you. Because like I said, there is actually a lot of gender fluidity going on down there.
Yeah.
It's just kind of differently done.
Okay. Okay. So I know we're going to go to a break pretty soon. But so what are... are there other types of kind of spectrums that we need to talk about besides like gender identity, sexual orientation? What's this asexual thing that I've heard about?
Okay, well, I mean, the A spectrum is just the spectrum of, it's like, I don't know, man.
So you call it the A spectrum?
A spec.
Okay.
You know, it's just how much it's there. I don't know how to explain it, man. As I said, everyone experiences differently. You cannot put like an infinitely small label on every single infinitely small thing. But you know, that's like someone who's asexual is someone who doesn't experience sexual attraction. Someone who's aromantic is someone who doesn't experience romantic attraction.
Oh, okay.
And you know, there's all sorts of different. There's gray asexual. There's demisexual. There's
What does that mean? What do those terms mean? Gray?
Gray asexual is, it varies. I mean, you can experience different points of asexuality during your life. So it's like kind of a sometimes.
Oh, okay.
And then,
Well, I know somebody like that.
Demisexual is you can only experience sexual attraction to someone who you know very well.
Oh.
Yeah. So you need to experience like a very intensive, like, personal connection with someone before you're able to be attracted to them.
What I used to call old-fashioned.
Right. Okay. Well, that's great. And so somewhat, and then you said, so, and then romantic is another spectrum.
Yeah.
Besides that. Can you go into some of that?
Well, I mean, it's like someone can experience sexual attraction without wanting to ever have a relationship. And I mean, that's not being just, oh, you know, I don't know how to say that, but like, it's just, they don't feel that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They just don't.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and they're not any less of people for it, but
uh-huh.
Whatever, man.
Okay. Yeah. So there's
physical needs that need to be met, but their mm-hmm. emotional needs appear whole and complete.
Yeah. Sure. Let's use okay. that.
All right. Well, it's time for us to go to break. We'll be right back continuing this fascinating discussion. This is Una Drake with Your Juicy Love.
Tune in to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio to harness your connection with the universe to effect change for optimal success and happiness. Name one of the country's top psychics, Eve now brings her insights and gifts to this weekly hit call-in show, joined by visionaries, leaders, and gifted others, but mostly you. Jot it down, Thursdays, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
In this day and age, if you don't reinvent yourself, you may never find balance, peace, and the sustainable life that is your birthright. Angela Watson Robertson, known as the Reinvention Warrior and the host of breakthrough radio show Masters of Reinvention, is here to help you reinvent every area of your life. Tune in and hear from the best in the personal transformation business and discover tips and tools for positive change. Live every month on Transformation Talk Radio.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
All right, and we're back. This is Una Drake with Your Juicy Love, and with me today are Kiara, my daughter, 15, freshman in high school, and and my wonderful partner, Joe, who's offering his perspective as well.
Howdy.
All right. And today we're talking about just changes in the discussion around sexual orientation, gender identity, et cetera, from past years to today, and you know, the different experience that, say, Kiara and her generation are experiencing versus what Joe and I grew up with, you know, in young people. I mean, we grew up in different areas of the country, but in some ways, I think the culture that we came out of was similar, still the United States. So, you know, and I guess one of the things, so we were talking about how there's a lot more, of course, acceptance around, you know, trans people, gay people, you know, people of, you know, and the understanding that, you know, sexual orientation and even gender identity is fluid. I think we're moving towards that, towards that idea as a concept, which I embrace. I think mm-hmm. that those are fluid concepts and that it's not just an either or. I'm gay or I'm straight, or I'm even a man or a woman. I mean, I think there's some fluidity you could say on that.
Infinite.
Yeah.
Infinite fluidity.
Okay. Yeah. And how our sexuality and how we express ourselves in the world is on many different levels, you know, can change over a lifetime of experience, and that's okay. I guess I was definitely, you know, and I think the more traditional way of thinking about things is that, you know, you're either a man or a woman, and it is good to express a very, I think of it as like a polarized idea of masculinity or femininity. Mm. And I guess the word for this is heteronormativity. Okay.
Something. I don't know, ma'am. I don't like it.
more like heteroconformity.
Heteroconformity. Okay.
Because, you know, there's like a conformity quality, right? Mm,
yeah, yeah. And then there's obviously lots and lots of people who don't fit within those norms. And so it's like, I think of like women who don't fit like the traditional like pretty woman archetype. Like, I even grew up with friends who, you know, just always felt bad in their body because they didn't feel like they were what they were supposed to be. That's terrible.
Just be yourself.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot more acceptance of, you know, differences and, you know, the spectrum of who we are as people and how we express that in the world has definitely come a long ways. And yet I still see and hear, you know, in especially, you know, since I'm a dating and relationship coach, so I try to stay up to date, you know, with what's going on in the dating relationship world. And I, on a regular basis, run into dating and relationship coaches who are big proponents of this polarity dynamic, like, you know, women being women, men being men, and then coming together. And I think when that works out that way, it's great. And it can be wonderful for the people who that works for. But I don't think that that should be pressured on anybody or held as like an ideal that everyone should aspire to. In fact, I think that holding it up as an ideal that people should like try to conform to is like really damaging. Like I've seen it be damaging in people's lives around me. And even in my own life, you know, when I was trying to conform to something that was artificial and outside of what was truly authentic in what was going on, you know? Yeah. So I'm just wondering, please expand on that. Please state your opinions. Okay.
I mean, if that's what you really want to do, if you really want to have that polarity, if both people really want the polarity, if they both really authentically are expressing that and they're like, yes, this is who I am, this is who I love being, and I love being with someone who does this as well, and you're both coming together and you agree on all this and you love it and it makes you happy, do it. But I mean, don't make other people do it.
What's with these people who need other people to be certain ways for their own comfort?
Yeah.
That's very interesting, I think. You know, I even wonder if this goes on outside, say, the confines of a heteronormative context, and that mm-hmm. some, like, I was thinking of the recent story I heard about a comedian from, I believe, Britain, who enjoyed dressing in women's clothes, felt a serious connection to a female identity, and came out briefly as trans, only to later realize that being trans robbed them of the experience that they were enjoying. And which was to dress opposite of their gender. And what he really was very into cross-dressing. And actually, the desire for that faded after they came out as trans. And then when they refused to conform to the trans archetype and to the story that trans people experience, they were berated by that community. So I feel like you can see that in a lot of places. I see, you know, I've known gay men who've come out who had to conform to an archetype of what a gay man should be. You know, going from drinking beer all the time, being a person who loves beer and video games, comes out as gay, and then suddenly only plays piano and drinks wine. You know? And it's like, dude, I know you. This isn't you. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
And I'm sure there's a reckoning for people that are in that trap as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think any time that we feel like we need to kind of twist ourselves to conform to some standard outside of our natural expression,
don't do it.
You know, that's going to be a problem. I think it's going to, you know, it's going to show up as some inner conflict, you know? And I think part of our task in life, in a sense, is to certainly experiment with things and, you know, get to know ourselves and to more and more express ourselves in the world. And I don't mind people experimenting with stuff, but I guess trying to make part of themselves wrong for not conforming to some external standard, I think that's can be damaging and even dangerous.
I wonder if it results from like a natural human drive to conform, but then frustrations about how to apply it in a changing social context.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Also, tribe. I think tribe, you know, the idea of wanting a tribe and wanting to have a community, a supportive community of people around you, and feeling like you need to conform to the standards of that tribe, I think that that probably has everything to do with it, really. I mean, now that we're talking about this, this is, seems obvious, but...
I think it spans a lot of contexts outside of identity. You have class conformity. Mm-hmm. You know, if you live in a really lower class, disadvantaged socioeconomic setting,
mm-hmm.
if you act as though you're not in that setting, people mm-hmm. get very upset with you.
Yeah.
You know?
Big theme in my favorite book.
Oh, which one is that?
The Elegance of the Hedgehog. One of the protagonists is like a building manager, and she has to act like she's, you know, really uneducated, you know, likes like television soap opera. And in reality, she loves, you know, high art. She reads like old Russian literature all the time. She's,
right.
you know, totally into all kinds of art and, you know, watches like masterpiece Japanese films of, you know, symbolism and beauty. And she's, you know, really great on that, but she has to pretend to not do that so that people don't get weird about it. And, you know,
it reminds me of my father, who was a longshoreman and trucker operating out of the Jersey Pier, who had to hide his college education because once it got found out by a couple people, it was a real problem.
Hmm. Yeah.
Especially because it was for art.
Right. And that gets probably into what you were saying on break, is some of the distorted viewpoints that it seems like society tries to put men into. Like, or the gender roles that I think men are sometimes, like, men.
Yeah, because, you know, I think of myself as a manly man, and a lot of the criticisms of men I really balk at, and I wonder, like, I feel like there's this mythological male animal that I'm always hearing critiques about that just doesn't bear any relationship to my personal life and my experience of men in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Although I've seen some intersections, no doubt, with some of these criticisms. I've definitely seen where some of this is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel like there's a huge reckoning to do with the spectrum of male identity.
Yeah. Well, I think that's similar to the conversation that's been going on around female identity and, like, yeah, it's okay for women to use tools. It's okay for women to work outside the home. You know, it's okay for women to express, you know, to do anything that they want to do. And I think that the conversation for men is kind of catching up to that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I know that we are going to go to another break pretty soon here. Anything that we need to do to wrap this up? We will be coming back from break and we'll have another segment of the show just to kind of really wrap things up. But, it seems like, I guess what we're saying is that, there is a lot of pressure to conform to various norms of different groups. I mean, we are a social creature and we want to fit in, but that can create a lot of conflict if we're not really authentic to who we are. And people just need to be accepted for who they are. All right, well, we'll go to break and we'll be right back after a few minutes, okay? Thanks.
Winning at the game of money. Lynn Brown is now offering Full Spectrum Finance, a progressive 12-month program that will help you to navigate through the mechanics of financial expansion. Finally, a financial planner who looks at the full spectrum of money and abundance. Engage you in the mental, physical, and energetic aspects of finance. This is Full Spectrum Finance. Are you ready to get into it? For more information, go to fullspectrumfinance.com.
Said to a friend, I am trying to be less stressed. I am hoping to meet someone special. Or how about, I am working on getting a job I love. Hi, I'm Eve from Elite Tarot, host of the weekly show Mainstream Metaphysics Radio. Words like hoping, wanting, and trying may seem innocent. However, they carry with them emotional weight that actually blocks energy. Next time you start to say these words, say instead, I am becoming less stressed. I am looking forward to meeting someone special. I am pursuing a job I love. While your brain may resist, note how your body physically feels as possibility of success suddenly appears. As an intuitive coach and professional tarot card reader, I work with clients worldwide on using energy effectively to embrace joy. If you'd like to schedule a session, please visit my website at elitetarot.com. That's ELITETAROT.com.
Tune in to Synergenetic Living Radio, where Rick and Grace Paris discuss the synergenetic way of life, what it means to truly change your perspective in life, what it means to take control of your life and manifest your true desires. For more information on Rick and Grace Paris and Synergenetic Living, check out synergeneticliving.com. Get clear on the life you desire and the current life you are creating and what is between the two. Synergenetic Living, living life loud.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
All right, we're back. This is Una Drake with Your Juicy Love. And today we're here with Kiara, my daughter, 15 years old, freshman in high school, and my wonderful partner, Joe.
Hello.
Greetings.
All right. And today we've been comparing and contrasting the perspective of the younger generation with the generation that Joe and I are in, you know, growing up in the 70s and 80s and 90s and versus kids today. Kids today.
You were born with the internet.
I know.
Yes, it was. That's why I use it better than you.
So we've been talking a lot about the changes in the views around gender identity and sexual orientation and related topics, you know, over time, over the years. And how we were circling around on that people need to be accepted for who they are and not force themselves or be pressured into conforming to the norms and expectations of an external group. I think when that happens, when people try to force themselves to conform to external standards, whether those be external standards of you know, how women should be or how men should be or how straight people should be or whatever.
Or how society should work.
Yeah, or how society should work. That creates some real problems, some real conflicts, and that it's probably better to think that, you know, everybody we're all people. We're all trying to get along, mm-hmm. and we're just doing the best that we can, and that there's very little that's actually like black and white, either or in the world. It's more of a spectrum. Mm-hmm. And Kiara, you introduced us to a video recently that I think in some ways sums a lot of this up. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, it definitely sums up my views on basically all of this. And I found the video incredibly powerful. I was like crying for several minutes after watching it. It's a short, maybe 2.5 minute animation by the YouTuber Scotch, an animator, titled, "I Almost Killed Myself Before I Could Finish Making This Video," which is a long and dramatic title. But it's him talking about, as he put it, do-it-yourself happiness. You know, just how to, you know, be happy in it when people are a lot of times trying to stop you from being. So.
And about what makes them mad.
Yeah.
So do you wanna go into that a little bit? So I mean, I know that he makes a lot of statements like they don't want you to be happy. Mm-hmm. Can you just you've watched the video more than I have, so can mm-hmm. you just go into that? And
it's just to be happy and just to be absolutely happy with what makes you happy and who you are and what you're doing. Don't apologize about it. Like, if something makes you happy, be happy. You don't need to defend what's making you happy. You don't need to defend who you are and how you feel. And you don't need to define happiness. It's just be yourself and don't be, you know, just let it be. You be you. You do you.
Yeah,
man.
So
sounds very American, Anshay. Hmm. I'm enthusiastic about that.
Yeah, and I think what it's coming down to is like he was unhappy. This person was unhappy, mm-hmm. trying to meet the expectations of many outside
mm-hmm. yeah.
powers, you could say, mm-hmm. or the expectations of many days. and realized that was never going to happen. You know, if as long as he was striving to, you know, fit other people's expectations to his own detriment, it was always like he was always looking for approval and happiness is essentially to come from outside of himself. And he finally said, he finally was like, hey, I just got to work on making myself happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like the rebellious quality to the video, too. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely, you know, because we have the sense mm-hmm. that we're put upon a lot of times by the expectations of our society, you know, which may be real, may be a projection of media. A lot of times I think, you know, a lot of what people say is wrong with our society is really what's wrong with the society represented in sitcoms, not an actual real society.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, it's a psychological note. I think about this them as being something we let in and maybe even shape and create ourselves. And like, this is a person actively fighting it. I like it when people rebel against the darkness and the demons that weigh us down,
mm-hmm.
take up a sword and just fight it back. And this is filled with that quality. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Being a traditional manly man, I like fighting.
Right. Yeah. And so I guess when that comes back to, you know, situations like if someone is trying to decide whether they need to fit within one norm or another norm.
Don't.
Yeah. It's just about being oneself and accepting other people. I think the other side of the coin is accepting other people for who they are and mm-hmm. not expecting other people to fulfill your expectations or just understand. I mean, yes, sometimes, especially like in official arrangements, people, you have to, you know, keep your word. But as far as like, if people don't have the same opinion as you, that's their opinion. They're doing them, you know? And I think that we have to, what? So it's important to have a lot of tolerance for other opinions and other people, even people who like Trump. I don't know.
Well, definitely. I think those people need love more than anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, as much as we might ask for, you know, tolerance, we need to display tolerance. And, you know, as much as we advocate for love, we need to practice love. And, yeah, any concluding thoughts? We're just reaching the end of our show here. Any final thoughts?
You do you, man. Just be yourself, love yourself, be happy. And really let other people be happy.
get yourself a black suit, a red tie, and a hat. Don't get out of line. That's my advice. Now, of course, I'm kidding, but I was raised with such attitudes, and I'm really glad that we're getting into a more independent place of expression on a lot of spectrum. I just want to encourage all the listeners, you know, hey, let's all be us, let's all be free, and freedom doesn't mean conforming to new stuff either. Let's all be really free.
Yeah.
Stop bundling all these extra expectations with these really insignificant parts of our identity.
Absolutely. And peace, joy, and love, everybody. That's what it's all about. All right? So thank you. And we'll catch you next time on Your Juicy Love. This is Una Drake. And thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Farewell.
Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake. Tune in each month as Dr. Pat and I co-host together, creating juicy conversations, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. I interview amazing guests, and you'll learn how to transform your relationships so you can stay juicy. To learn more about me or to listen to past shows, visit my website at unadrake.com.